Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the All American Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carr, bringing you guys an in-depth analysis of the NBA draft, grades, pro comparisons, and breakdowns for every lottery pick coming up next. So as I mentioned today, getting into a breakdown of the NBA draft, breaking down its coverage and, you know, everything I love and I hate about it, what was special about it this year, and obviously we have the lottery to break down as well. But I'm excited for this episode. The NBA draft is one of my favorite times, like, all year. I love it. And this year especially, I mean, we had so much controversy. You know, with a lot of different guys, a lot of different picks, but ended up being one of the more predictable drafts, I thought. There weren't a ton of surprises. You know, we had guys like Bilal Coulibaly jump up the board late. Cam Whitmore fell a lot. But outside of those, I mean, there weren't a ton of, you know, like, wow, shocking moments throughout the draft. And I listened to the Ryan Russillo podcast, and he actually pointed out something that I kind of noticed along the draft as well, but this was a very need-based draft, or very fit-based draft. Like, you know, teams weren't drafting for the best player available or the most talented pick. It was really, you know, who fits my scheme better, and I guess we'll see how that pans out, because, you know, there is both sides of the spectrum on that. Like, I know a lot of people, the consensus was that Scoot Henderson should have been the pick at number two. I kind of disagree. I think Brandon Miller was the right pick, because I just don't... first of all, I'm not the biggest Scoot fan, and I'm not really a fan of the fact that people are saying Wembanyama, Miller, and Scoot are far and away the best prospects. Like, I think there's not as much of a gap there that people think between the others. Maybe in terms of upside, sure. But I think Scoot and LaMelo would not have worked, and I actually really like the fit with Brandon Miller. I think he has the potential to be like a Jason Tatum, the next level. And, you know, I'm not going to go in too deep, because I think this is a very popular opinion, but ESPN's coverage of the NBA draft was horrendous. I mean, first of all, I think they could have done a better job personnel-wise just covering the draft. They could have gotten some other faces in. And there were some moments where it's like, what are you talking about? But anyways, besides that, I don't want to criticize those guys too much, because I respect the hell out of everyone there and what they do. But as far as, like, graphically in a TV basis, it's so hard to know where guys are going. Like, my Boston Celtics, it was frustrating to watch as a fan, but in the end, I actually think they got a great turn. But they traded down, like, four times. And it's not their fault. You know, we shouldn't say, oh, no more trades, because there wasn't a lot of first-round trades. The second round was really a free-for-all. But anyways, we don't know where players are going. Like, these are all proposed trades, and I guess you can't really change that because it's draft rights to guys. But the TV's got to do a better job, because guys are wearing the wrong hats consistently, and the team is just inconsistent. Like, it won't say the right team. And then on top of that, there's like three more proposed trades, and you're like, it's so confusing to figure out where guys are going. And Adam Silver himself announces the trades like 10 picks too late. It's not a fault on him, but just I don't even know if they should announce them anymore. They just got to do a better job graphically for people watching the draft. And for people there, I mean, they should be able to find out the trades, I think, much sooner. Because Woj announces it, and then like 10 picks later, Adam Silver's like, I got a trade to announce. But it's like, oh, wait, we already heard that like from like 10 picks ago. But anyways, just my opinion, just kind of going off the record there. Back on track now to the lottery. Pick number one, Victor Wembanyama to the San Antonio Spurs. You know, as you guys know, I'm not the biggest Victor Wembanyama fan. But he's so talented. He has all the tools to be great. So you really have to pick him if you're San Antonio. I just think that that body seems like it's going to break down. I mean, and I don't want to wish injury or predict injury on any guys. But his is kind of a special case, because he's like 7'5" and super thin. And that just seems like it will get a lot of injuries. We've seen it with guys like Bol Bol, Kristaps Porzingis. Those are the only two really comparable bodies, I think, to him that are like over 7'2" or 7'3". And they both had major injuries. Bobo when he was at Duke. Porzingis had, I believe, an ACL tear, maybe an Achilles tear. One of the two. And along with a lot of other minor injuries. But with that being said, I think Wembanyama does have a lot of tools to be great. I think he will be more of a project than a lot of people think, though. Like, that jump shot is not NBA ready yet. I mean, yes, the Spurs will give him the keys. The offense is going to take a lot of them, and he's probably going to make a lot of if he's taking, you know, 50 shots a game. But anyways, I think he's better suited at the four, which is why I gave the pro comparison to Evan Mobley. You know, because I think both of these guys are going to have more impact defensively. And I do worry about Wembanyama a little defensively. I talked about, you know, there's been a video of him where Kenny Lofton just breaks him down. And Kenny Lofton is a really tough player in the post to guard, but he's like 6'6", and he kind of just boxed him out of the way in the FIBA World Cup. So I worry what guys like Nikola Jokic are going to do with the next level to him. That's why I project him as a four. The Spurs have a solid five-man right now in Zach Collins. So if Evan Mobley, you know, kind of had a little bit more of an offensive game, I think it would be a perfect comparison to Victor Wembanyama. But I think when it's all said and done, he won't be remembered so much for his shot creating. Like, this guy is going to get the ball taken away from him a lot. His ball handling is very good for a 7'5" person. But and then again, he's 7'5". Like, guys can literally just kind of pick at the ball and get it away from him because he has such a high dribble. And he moves, you know, kind of slow. Once again, pretty fast for 7'5", but overall, pretty slow with the ball. People will pick up on that. I think he's going to be more like Evan Mobley because I think he'll develop more of kind of a post game, maybe a little mid-range. And Mobley does shoot the three pretty well. You know, if you look at the shot charts between him and Wembanyama, I think they'll be very similar. But they'll both have very solid defensive impact at the four. You know, Mobley obviously isn't as tall, but he's a thin 7-footer who I think fits Wembanyama's build, just a little smaller and a little less offensive potential. But I gave this pick an A because you have to pick him. I mean, it just it gave him and Brandon Miller A's because they're not A pluses because, like, those were the prospects. You can't do a lot with one and two. I think, you know, if you pick a really great guy at 13, that's like, oh, wow, that's an A plus because you struck gold at the 13th pick. One and two, it's like you have months to figure this out. Like, you should know what you're doing. You should have dead set locked in a guy and – you know, you're doing more with less at the 13th pick, which is why I gave, I think, an A-plus later in the draft to some teams. But these guys, you know, they're doing more with more, I would say. So number two, Brandon Miller with the Charlotte Hornets. I like this pick better than Scoot Henderson. My worry with Scoot Henderson is that guys in the next level will just go under ball screens. He's very solid in the pick and roll, but when people go under, he struggles a lot. The three-pointer probably will come along, but you know what? Hey, this is Brandon Miller's pick, so I'm going to talk about him more. Kind of caught myself there. I gave him Jabari Smith Jr. I didn't really – you can't compare guys to, like, the best of the best in the world unless you truly believe, like, they are guaranteed superstars. And my worry with Brandon Miller, like Jabari Smith last year, is kind of the ball handling. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because I was about to compare him to Jaylen Brown, have similar issues. I just don't think Brandon Miller is athletically gifted as Jaylen Brown. And I don't think his shot making is good enough where he is going to be a number one like Jason Tatum. This guy and people that I've talked to around the league, like, he is a number two. And I think Ryan Russillo said that when he brought Sam Vicente on his podcast. He's much better suited playing off of other stars. That's why I think Charlotte's good, because LaMelo Ball just got an extension there. He's going to be the superstar, or at least they hope. And I think they'll build the offense around the fact that they believe LaMelo Ball is a superstar. You get a great shot maker and a guy who can really create his own shot at the next level in Brandon Miller. I compare him to Jabari Smith, and I said this earlier, the ball handling is a concern, but he's a great shot maker. He's a little slower and not as athletic as you might like, but he can finish pretty nicely. And they both have pretty similar defensive upside. Like, these guys are tall. They're lanky and they're pretty athletic. You know, they'll develop some lateral quickness and be able to guard guys when they want to, just based on those tools alone. So I like the pick. I like the fit with Brand Miller in Charlotte. And reminds me of Jabari Smith Jr. Gave it an A, like Wembanyama. Good pick. Just, you're at 1-2. I can't give you an A+ for knocking it out of the park with a top prospect. So number three, the Portland Trailblazers, and the news is coming out now that Damian Lillard wants out of Portland. And this is why this pick makes a lot more sense to me. At the time, I didn't really understand it. Like, I guess they didn't want to force a trade because maybe they couldn't get a lot of value at number three. People were worried Scoot wouldn't be there, because I think the consensus was that Scoot was 2, Brandon Miller was 3. But Scoot Henderson, I gave it a C+ because I'm not the biggest Scoot Henderson fan. And people will say this all the time, but these athletic point guards have very short lives in the NBA. You look at Derrick Rose, you look at Ja Morant even right now. Like, he really needs to develop a jump shot. You're banking on that. He's a very solid mid-range shooter. I'm just worried about his beyond-the-arc ability. And I don't know, the G League is still a little unfamiliar to me in terms of how NBA prospects are panning out. So, you know, maybe we kind of realize that that level of competition isn't as good as playing the NCAA. I don't know. We'll see. But Portland now, I'd probably give it a better grade just because they kind of take a big swing at a guy who can maybe replace Lillard. Because at the time, I didn't get it. You know, they were in a win-now state, and why would you pick, you know, I guess Scoot Henderson, if you really believe he's the best prospect, you take him either way. But I don't know. I thought they should have traded this pick or done something else with it. Not the biggest Scoot fan, but I guess he'll fit nicely now with Dame gone. Depends on who they get back in return. But you kind of do have a loaded backcourt there. Like, if they were really in win-now mode, I might get a lot of hate for this, but I think, you know, Taylor Hendricks or Jairus Walker would have made sense. That way, voice crack, you wouldn't have had to pay Jeremy Grant all that money. Kind of would have filled a role there. Get some money for another shot creator next to Dame. But now, kind of all out the window. So Scoot can kind of lead that backcourt, and you don't have as much of a logjam back there now with Simons and Sharp as well. I compared him to Colin Sexton, a guy who, again, is dangerous in the pick and roll, but not as dangerous from three. And Scoot's never going to be a great shooter. Colin Sexton, not a great shooter, but he's a pretty, you know, average, maybe below average, three-point shooter. He can knock it down with some consistency. But another one of those just electric energy guys who's just, you know, freaky athletic and twitchy and jumpy at the point guard position. So Scoot and Colin Sexton, they both have, you know, lively energy guys who can really lead your offense. So I like that. I gave it a C+. Number four, Amen Thompson. I compared him to Jamal Murray, and watching Amen, you know, I wasn't a huge fan. Neither of the Thompson twins really you know, blew my mind. I just think at that level of competition, I talked about G League Ignite, but that level of competition is very questionable to me. Overtime Elite, really, like, I don't know. I watched their games, and they just, compared to the NCAA, I don't know. At the next, I worry about their ability to work at the next level because neither one of them are going to be number one or number two scoring options. Neither of them are great shooters. Arsar is the better shooter. But Amen's position, I think he does have a little more upside than Arsar. I do like him a little bit better because it's kind of a safer pick for the Rockets. They have a lot of shooters, and I don't like what they've done in free agency, but they need guys who can pass. And I compare him to DeJounte Murray, Amen, because they both are pretty similar in size. They both kind of play above the ground. And neither of them are great jump shooters, but they know how to kind of run through an offense pretty well and have some potential defensively because of their length and quickness and height to really be, you know, solid guys. But they both make, you know, are known for their finishing at the rim. So I like DeJounte Murray for the comp, and I like the B- grade. I like this pick better when the Rockets didn't really mess up their free agency. I don't know what they're doing with their free agency. I will get into that in another episode. But moving on to pick number five with Ausar Thompson. I compared him to Kelly Oubre. I think a pretty good comp in my opinion, just because Oubre isn't a great three-point shooter, and neither is Ausar. Might develop, certainly, but another, you know, high-flying wing who can defend really well at the next level. I think that's where Ausar can really make a name for himself. But the problem with this pick, and I gave it a C-minus, because I don't love the fit with the Pistons. I didn't understand why the Pistons didn't go with Cam Whitmore. I thought that was such a perfect fit. And as more news broke out, you know, he didn't have a great pre-draft workout and all that. I get it, but I don't know. A lot of other guys are good to pick here because you do have a loaded backcourt and you need a forward. But Ausar definitely would not be my pick. So I gave it a C-. Moving on to number six, Anthony Black. Compared to Madelon Wright, I gave this pick a B. I don't really know how he'll fit in New Orlando, but he's a guy who will give you some great minutes defensively. Offensively, a little more questionable because his jump shot isn't great. And I don't know, the Magic backcourt is kind of a mess because you look at them, they have four point guards, really. You have now Anthony Black, Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, who's kind of a combo guard. Maybe you could use him as a two, but he's very small, so I don't know how he'd fit the two defensively. And Jalen Suggs, kind of a lost cause, I guess, by now. But I don't know. I feel like they could have went in a better direction. I don't hate this pick because I think Black has a lot of potential. Like Delon Wright, known for his defense, gets a lot of steals, scrappy with quick hands. But offensively, you know, if you can kind of just set the tempo, slow it down a little bit, you know, get some nice little shots at the rim and really just, you know, kind of organize the offense past the ball, then I like this pick. Same with Amen Thompson, you know, kind of similar. He's not going to wow you offensively. He's not going to, you know, create a lot of shots or drill the three-pointer with, you know, crazy consistency. But another high-flying guy. Like Delon Wright, who can kind of just, you know, run through the offense, get it set up, organized, and, you know, score when you need to, but mainly get a lot of easy looks at the rim. Number seven, the Washington Wizards, Bilal Coulibaly. A guy who I don't love. I think he kind of jumped up on boards because people looked at Wembanyama's film and saw, like, hey, this is a pretty solid teammate. Maybe get him on a radar. And then everyone started thinking the same thing. Once people realize, oh, well, this team's looking at it, maybe move him up a little bit on our draft board. Moved up way too far, in my opinion. I don't think this guy is it at the next level. I don't hate it because he does have a good amount of upside, but not going to create his own shots a lot. He's going to get a lot of, you know, dunks and looks at the rim. But he's, you know, lengthy enough and athletic enough where he's going to, you know, get a lot of minutes on the floor. In Washington, they can afford some misses at this point. They have a lot of draft picks coming their way. They're starting a rebuild. Not a bad guy to start it because he can give you a lot of D, like Matisse Thybulle. Long, quick defender who can block and steal. So he has a lot of defensive upside. Offensively, though, kind of might be a non-factor. Like a Jared Vanderbilt. Like, I mean... He can get dunks at the rim. He can kind of finish around the rim pretty well, but not a great three-point shooter, not a great mid-range shooter. So it worries me a little bit, but he'll be in there for Washington on defense. They do have a lot of offense there now in Washington. It's starting to come together a little bit, so I don't mind this pick. Another high-flying guy like Thybulle, and you might not remember, but Thybulle coming out of college was really a dunker offensively. He hit the three pretty well, but mainly got a lot of, you know, athletic plays in the rim, kind of like Coulibaly. So I don't hate this pick. I gave it a B, kind of like an eh pick, you know. So now moving on to pick number eight, Jairus Walker. I compare him to Isaiah Stewart. First of all, he kind of looks like Isaiah Stewart. And his size, very similar to him. Walker at the next level, I don't really see what other people see in his potential for offensive upside to create his own shot, you know, through the half court. I don't see that. He's just too big and too slow to do that. Like, he's going to be, you know, a 3-and-D guy. Very, very good defender, post. And maybe you can stretch him out at the perimeter, experiments with some things in Indiana because they got some time. But very solid three-point shooter. The stroke looks pretty good. And I just think he really needs to toughen up around the rim. And that was kind of the same with Isaiah Stewart, but kind of the opposite. Because Isaiah Stewart wasn't great finishing at the rim, but he was almost like too physical and too violent down there. With Jairus Walker, because I kind of project him like Isaiah Stewart is with the Pistons, a solid four guy who can kind of stretch you out and hit the three well, but mainly known for his defense. I just think they both need to get better finishing around the rim. But I don't like this pick. He's a good connector, and I feel like a lot of these guys, as we kind of get out of the top three, are just really good connecting guys. They're not going to be superstars, but they're going to fill lineups, you know, starting or rotational pieces as really, you know, nice just connecting guys to connect stars together, move the ball around, be good defensively. So I like this pick with Jairus Walker in Indiana. I think he fits well because now they can move Jalen Smith back to his true position at the five. And I like how Walker went to a team where they have a solidified five in Miles Turner. And he could be their, you know, kind of four guy. And I don't think he's a three. 6'8", 250. You're not going to put him out on the perimeter a lot defensively. So I like him kind of being a little more versatile at the four. Number nine to the Jazz, Taylor Hendricks. I compare him to Jaden McDaniels. I see this a lot. They're both very long, athletic guys, once again known for their defense. I really like Taylor Hendricks' post defense. I like this guy can really do it all, and he's athletic enough, unlike Jairus Walker, where he can be a really, really solid perimeter defender. And I would, you know, say more of a Jared Vanderbilt kind of guy, but this guy is so good offensively. Like, he will just, he's the definition of 3-and-D, but he has a lot of athleticism there where there's just a ton of upside. And with the Jazz, they do kind of have a logjam at the forward now, bringing in John Collins, and you already have Kessler and Markkanen, so I don't know how he'll fit that well. That's why I kind of knocked him down to a B+, but I still really like Taylor Hendricks, a prospect. Coming out of UCF, just athletic guy who's really a weak side shot blocker, but also showed potential to guard one-on-one just kind of everywhere. And just athletic. Like, if you watch this guy on film, you'll love him. I mean, really no downside to his game. Just not a guy who's going to create his own shot, I guess, but he's gonna get you a lot of buckets offensively, you know, in transition and hitting the three well. So I think good pick for the Jazz. This is a Danny Ainge kind of pick. Number 10, Cason Wallace in the Oklahoma City Thunder. I gave this pick an A. I would give it an A+ just based on how much I like Cason Wallace, but they took on Davis Bertans' salary, which I guess, once again, like Indiana, you know, isn't huge because they got time to waste, and it's an expiring contract. You move up two spots, but I don't really get it why they even moved up, because if you're looking at the team ahead of you, 11, it's the Orlando Magic. They're not going to take Cason Wallace because they already have a bunch of point guards. They just took one in Anthony Black. So I don't know why they moved up, took on Davis Bertans' salary, because he's not going to get minutes there. But Cason Wallace, I love him. Compared to Jrue Holiday, just because he's such a winning player and he does a lot of things that are just necessary on winning teams. Hits the three pretty well. Pretty good mid-range shooter. Just all around, he's a three-level scorer with a well-rounded offensive game because he can really organize the offense. And at the next level, I don't think he'll be as much of a shot creator. I think he'll be kind of a setup man offensively. Who can kind of, you know, you can kick it out when you need to. But he's known for his defense. Like Jrue Holiday, this guy is just the definition of effort. We talk a lot about, you know, the upside in guys defensively because they're so long and athletic. This guy is just pure effort. He's like 6'3", a little bit tall, a little bit like a 6'6", 6'5", wingspan. But, man, he is just effort. He is relentless defensively, and he's got a really nice shot. Just a winning player, and it's kind of surprising because not the typical OKC pick with Sam Presti, but I like what they did here because he's a safer pick, but a guy who can really do a lot of things well, and I like how it'll kind of fit in the backcourt, be a hybrid between Josh Giddey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but fit well next to either of them. He's a combo guard with, you know, just a lot of upside. There's no way this is like a miss. Like, Cason Wallace won't be a very bad player at any point. He's always going to be pretty good. He's always going to be a you want to have on your team. And he doesn't have crazy upside, but this is why, you know, that's why you want number 10. But does a lot of things the right way on the basketball floor. I gave it an A. 11 with Jet Howard. I don't hate this pick as much as other people do. With Orlando, like, I think definitely I normally would not like this pick. I don't like that he plays for his dad, first of all, because I don't think he's that good. Like, but I think this guy is kind of built for the NBA. I compare him to Cam Johnson because he's got an underrated ability to create his own shot. He's not just a sniper from three. He can create his own shot in the next level. He's 6'8", a little slow with the basketball, you know, not a tight handle, but he can get by guys. And like, he's got so much confidence around there. Orlando needs that guy who can really knock down threes and create his own shot. So I kind of like what they're doing here with the Anthony Black and the Jet Howard pick. Might have been a reach, sure. But, you know, that's why I didn't give it an A+, but B+, because I think this is an overly hated pick, and it fits what Orlando needs very well. You could have argued, yeah, Grady Dick would have been a better pick. Sure, I think they're pretty similar. I just think Jet could probably play defense a little bit better. And Jordan Hawkins, sure, but Jordan Hawkins can't do anything outside of shooting the basketball all that well. So I like Jet Howard because he's got some upside. I compare him to Cam Johnson. Very similar in size and just knock down three-point shooters who are pretty solid, movable defensively, but guys who have the potential to create their own shots, even though they're not, you know, insanely athletic or super fast. They just, you know, they're shot makers, and guys are always going to kind of, you know, make mistakes and hit a shot over them. So I think he fits what Orlando needs. I gave it a B+. Number 12, Derek Lively to the Mavs. This is an A+. One, they offloaded Davis Bertans' contract. They got Rashawn Holmes in the draft as well. And I like the Lively pick. I think he fits very well in the pick and roll. I compare him to Jackson Hayes, and a lot of people gave me some hate for this because they're like, Jackson Hayes hasn't totally panned out. I'm like, well, these guys don't always pan out. Like, a lot of people said Willie Cauley-Stein for a comparison. I'm like, well, I think Jackson Hayes might be a better comp than Willie Cauley-Stein. As far as the NBA level, but he can't offer you a lot outside of the pick and roll. Very solid interior defensively, with interior defense. So I think Lively fits exactly what the Mavs need, and I don't think he has a ton of upside, just a really, really good pick and roll scorer with very solid defense. But that's exactly what the Mavs need, and they were able to get, you know, a lot of salary out the door. Get another center as well in Rashawn Holmes as part of a different trade later in the draft. But we're doing the lottery, so I had to give him maybe a little boost, but I think he struck it out of the park at 12 with Derek Lively. Simply, they got rid of a bad contract, and they brought in a perfectly fit guy to really help out their defense and offense in the next level. Grady Dick, and last thing I was saying about Lively, he's kind of built like Jackson Hayes, I think, and athletically, they're both just, you know, they scream big plays. Like, he will dunk the basketball ferociously and get a lot of just SWAT blocks that'll be like, whoa. So, yeah. Number 13, the Raptors, Grady Dick. First of all, Grady Dick's suit was crazy. I love it. There's always like one or two guys who have crazy suits or crazy draft outfits, but that was, like, insane. I don't think I've ever seen something like that. Maybe Kevin Knox, the Fortnite suit a few years back, but it was only fitting when he went to a team that its main color is red, and he lands in Toronto, which I think is a good place for him. I was trying to find another comparison outside of, like, the consensus ones, and I did that, I think, with every other guy on this list except for Grady Dick, but I don't see another guy more comparable to him than Kevin Huerter. Dick, you know, he's just, he fits their offense pretty well. He fits their, you know, kind of lengthy scheme well. And, you know, he's just an excellent shooter. He fits the Raptors with length and quick hands defensively. You know, not a ton of upside, but a high floor guy. He has the potential to create his own shot at the next level. But, the worry about him is that his kind of, he has a slight frame, which might lead to him getting picked on defensively. But, you know, you need a shooter there. You need kind of a bridge player. I think he fits it well in Toronto. I gave this pick an A-, and I compared him to Kevin Huerter because they're both pretty similar in size. They both shoot the basketball extremely well. They're both underrated cutters going to the basket. And potential to create his own shot. Because Kevin Huerter, I remember I watched him at a Celtics game one time, and he went, like, off. And I think Grady Dick is going to have some nights like that, too. Number 14, last pick on this list. And, oh, by the way, I gave it an A- on the last pick. Number 14 on this list, Jordan Hawkins. I think he was a little overrated, but such a great three-point shooter that it's hard for teams to pass him up because considering that's all guys do nowadays. I compare him to Pat Connaughton because he doesn't create his own looks. He gets a lot of screens off ball and kind of comes around and just is there. And they always have to worry about him from the three-point land. Pat Connaughton has never left wide open. He's a very good three-point shooter. I actually know him personally. He grew up near me in Arlington, Massachusetts. And one of my good friends was his coach through AAU and high school. So, anyways, back to Jordan Hawkins. I wouldn't like this pick with a lot of rebuilding teams, but New Orleans is very close to contenders than a lot of people think, and they need another shooter. So I like this pick. Like, New Orleans, the right team for him, and I gave it a B. So yeah, I mean, not much explaining new there because he's pretty athletic. Like, he might be a little impactful defensively with his hands, but he could get picked on. Same with Grady Dick because he's just so little, but he shoots the three well enough where that'll get him some minutes in the NBA court. So I gave it a B. So that's it for my lottery recap free agency episode coming up. Let me know your guys' thoughts, and I'll see you next time. Peace.